Letting go
and winning.
Letting go and winning. So often we are our own worst enemies when it comes to accomplishing our goals. We say, I'm independently wealthy. And then we say, I'm independently wealthy, I'm independently wealthy, I'm independently wealthy, affirming to ourselves that we're not. Now, what is one of the best ways to affirm that you're independently wealthy? The best way to affirm that you're independently wealthy is to surround yourself by wealth. Does that mean you have to go spend money? No. You just go and have coffee at the luxurious hotel. You go to the tennis court and you watch them play tennis, surrounded by other opulent people. Other opulent people. You surround yourself in every possible way with abundance. You develop friends who have abundance, and you ride in their lovely cars, and you have dinner with them in their lovely homes. You say, well, that's scrounging. No, it isn't. You're doing this with a purpose. You have a very definite way in mind of accomplishing your goal. You're known by the company you keep. And if you keep company with people who are as poor as you are, you will stay poor. If you keep company with people who are making it, then that's what you're looking toward. And they don't expect you to pay money. When you're dealing with people who are wealthy, they don't expect you to pay money. They just expect you to act as though you have money, to act as though you are abundant, to act as though you live in quality. Now, it goes a step further. Some people have a tendency to be gross, to be lowbrow, as the word might be used there, to be no class. Did you ever think of gross being no class? But that's what it is. No class, no charm, no imagination, no magic. And when people are like that, they're not really welcomed with people who have class. Because people with class just will not associate with people who don't have class. Why don't you associate with people who don't have class? Because you associate with people who are like yourself. So if you don't have class, train yourself to have class. Get a book on having class and practice it. We would all say without a hesitation that John has class. And yet John considers himself a buffoon and a clown most of the time. But he has class. When John chooses to, he can be the most dignified gentleman that is in your midst here. And that's a beautiful thing. But you see, he can play any game he wants. He can be at home with any group he wants. And he will have the class that carries him there. But everywhere he goes, everything he does is paid for. Everywhere he goes, everything that he does is appreciated and enjoyed. Now, is the same true for you? Wherever you go, you're appreciated and you're enjoyed as just who you are, as a person of dignity and charm and class. Now, Sylvia, Brother Ingeborg moved into her apartment a while back, and in the apartment house were people of modest means, as she considered herself of modest means. But Ingeborg's class would not be hidden. Ingeborg ended up being the teacher of virtually every neighbor. Every neighbor came to her and wanted to talk to her because she had quality, because she believed in herself, because she had class. You say, I never thought of Ingeborg as having class. I thought she was just a nice lady, but I didn't think that she was a dowager, you know, a ritzy-ditzy lady. But that's not what class is. Class is not what you seem to think it is from the movies or from the books you might read. A gentleman has class when he does not notice a woman's slip is showing. A gentleman has class when he walks down the street and is perfectly comfortable walking straight up and down, not slouched over. He's not unproud of himself, and he's not proud of himself. He just is quality. And he walks along with straight, confident steps. His arms are at his side, and they may swing just a little bit, but not much. A man of class and quality has certain ways of expressing himself. Now, a woman of class and quality, you can tell right away. You look at Monica and you say, that's a woman of class. You look at someone else and you say, they're an ordinary person. They're an ordinary person. And like Anita, she said her mother's always been a very special lady, but after the death of her husband, she had to go out and be herself, and all of a sudden, she became a woman of class. Where her husband has always held the forefront, now she was the whole front. And she walked out there among her neighbors and friends, and she was now a lady of dignity, a lady of charm. And every day, once she gets over this snide type of remark things that she seemed to be enjoying for a while, and forgets that, she'll be the most delightful woman in the world. But you see, a lot of times, in our false humility, we make snide remarks. In our false humility, we make remarks that put another person down or that belittle an activity of another person. Whenever you do that, you haven't got class. There is in the Reader's Digest a column called The Perfect Squelch. And the perfect squelch is for people who try to be something they're not and how a person of class responds to it. It's quite a charming little column. And so many people, they try to act big and they tell everybody the contributions they're making to charity. They tell everybody all the things that they should keep quiet. What you do for charity is the same thing you do in the bathroom. It's your business, nobody else's. How you help the poor, how you help another, how you lift up someone who is hurt and feeling bad, that is your private work. If you tell others about that, then you're just looking for credit. You already got the credit from working with the person you were working with, but then you want more credit. Well, my godson, Trevor, is a very brilliant young man, very remarkable in many, many ways. And he has developed many qualities of success in himself. And he has a lot of class, a lot of class. Well, he finished law school, and he wants to go into international law. And so he went to the law school in Washington, D.C., because he felt he would be in the flow of international activities there, which he is. Well, he wanted to get a job after law school, working for a lawyer, and getting himself accustomed to the field of law, and also having a few dollars coming in so he could live. And so he wanted to get a job. And he noticed in the newspaper there was an ad for a job for a probate lawyer who was one of the top probate lawyers in the United States. And he works directly with all the probate cases in Washington, D.C. and many other areas. Well, that was a plum. And Trevor thought, why not? I have nothing to do this afternoon. I'll go over there and see if I can get at least some attention, learn how to make applications and learn how to do this. And so he went over there with his good suit on. He had suits, but they were California suits. And he said to his dad, he says, you know, I got only California suits and they just don't really make it here in Washington, D.C. And so his father went out and bought him five new suits, you know, and be, you know, razzmatazz, you know, blue striped suits and all these sort of things that the classy lawyers wear. So he put one on and he went down to apply for the job. And as he went down to apply for the job, he was not surprised to see a line of 100 feet long or more of other candidates. Other young fellows who had just finished law school, or because the term had just ended then, or who were, you know, out some time now, but they were looking for upgrading of the job, because this was a plum. And so he stood in line, and he didn't talk much with the other guys, but he just stood there patiently, because he didn't want to associate with losers. He stood there quietly and patiently because he didn't want to associate with losers. Why didn't he want to associate with losers?
Because he was the winner.
Because he was the winner. He just saw himself going in there and making the program, doing it. So he did not talk to the other men standing in line, who were perfectly wonderful people. And when he got up to the door, he was the last one to go in. And he went inside, and he talked to the lawyer, and the lawyer asked him the normal questions, and who, what, when, where, why, and how about him. And he answered them perfunctorily, and with the charm that he is so readily able to give. But with class, he stood there, with quality, with knowing his self-worth. And then the lawyer just casually mentioned, well, I'm going down to South America to deal with some project down there. And Trev just happened to be interested in that same project. And so he said to the attorney, he says, hey, you know, that's quite interesting. I'm personally interested in that very much myself. And he started reciting a few of the facts of the project, indicating that he was acquainted with it. He says, but you know, I got some opinions on that. And the lawyer says, you got some opinions on it? Tell me about it. And so Trev started talking about his opinions of what's going on down there and how they could be trained and taught to handle many things themselves, and how new doorways could be opened, and how the money that's invested by the federal government and other organizations in that community and in that area could be handled in a more expeditious way, and so forth. So the attorney thought, that's interesting. And Trev went on and was expounding about this, and he was fired up, and his enthusiasm just bubbled right through. He was pure class. And he said, what the heck? If the guy hires me, he hires me. If he doesn't hire me, he doesn't hire me. The 100 guys out there, you know, any one of them is just as good intellectually and as a person as I would be. And besides which, my primary job is not anything important, but just to go and look up the books, the law books, and bring them to him on the cases that he is going to be working with. And so, as he's talking to the judge, the lawyer says, excuse me a minute. And he went to the door. And he opened the door and he says, gentlemen, I found my candidate. Thank you for coming in. Goodbye. And he hadn't even had a written application from Trev. He hadn't done anything. He had the real application of the man himself. And here you have seen how a winner really works. He liked himself. He didn't go in there panicky. He wasn't afraid. He didn't need the job. He was going to get a job, but he didn't need it. He had enough money to tide him over while he was looking around and feeling out the field and knowing what's going on. And he is just having a ball. And he now has a job because he went in there with an attitude of, hey, I'm a winner. I'm a winner. How many times have you gone around with the attitude of, I'm a winner? If you do, you're a winner. Do you want to be a winner on I'm independently wealthy? Do you want to be a winner on I live in my eternally perfect ideal, spirit, mind, and body? Do you want to be a winner on I am spiritually illumined? You know, I'm spiritually aware, alert, and all that other good stuff. Do you want to be a winner in those areas? You know how you do it? You act as though you are, and you are. You live in the consciousness of being a winner. Now, who do you know who is spiritually illumined? Who do you know who is living in independent wealth? Who do you know who is has a healthy body and a healthy mind and a healthy attitude toward life? Associate with them. Associate with them. If not actually, in fact, write them letters. Write them letters. Peg Carter, write her letters. She's wealth. She represents independent wealth. She doesn't spend it too well, but she represents that. And Heinz Oertli, he represents independent wealth. He doesn't spend it much, but he does it for himself. And he has fun. He has fun. Heinz is somebody who does nothing unless there's fun for him. Mm-hmm. And he likes himself. And we like him too. Now, find these kind of people. Associate with them in your life. Enjoy perfect health. Enjoy perfect abundance. Enjoy being a winner. And that's all it takes. I love you. Class. As if we hadn't spoken of that before. Here's a new tangle for class. What is class? How do we define class? Word the word class.